WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a Super Bowl coverage. We're going to be in Los Angeles. I'm going to be getting back out on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. You know, it's starting to feel like it's been months since I've gotten together with this guy. I only know him through Zoom. Don Mueller joins us now with another wise conversation of Baltimore Positive. And more than that, we haven't done a recon. Have we done a recon this year? Maybe the first
one. Yeah, we've done a couple. We took a 1 week hiatus so you could pack up the boxes and head to the county, as they say. And
moving is something, dude. Moving is something. It really is.
What's your takeaway? I said there's nothing worse than moving. What's your takeaway from moving?
Well, I don't know, man. I've never really done a whole lot of it, right? I mean, I grew up in Dundalk and then went to White Marsh. I've been down here for downtown at 18 and a half years, almost 19 years. And the thing that moved us out was, and you're familiar with this, was Isabel. We got flooded in White Marsh. And we got sent, and that was a quick decision. We wanted to live at the harbor. We were newlyweds. It was boom, 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 boom. This next thing around has been more like it's taken a couple of years to sell the place. There was some stuff we shipped out to the radio station a couple of years ago to get rid of it. And then we had to take care of our stuff. The takeaway would be you're never as prepared as you think you are. The emotional part, which is a big part for you, was definitely a part for me. But the part that I didn't really figure out is once everything's out, that the stuff, like to clean the place, if you don't get a professional cleaner, but we cleaned. It was more about cleaning for me than it was like moving. My good friends at Von Paris picked everything up, moved it along. But it was just you want to leave the place really nice for the next people. Even if it says sweep clean, like Mueller and Gary Realty, Jeff said, well, the contract says you only have to sweep the place. And I'm like, you know, I was raised better than that. I really wanted to leave it nice and walk out of it one last time, having it look beautiful. And that was the part that I didn't, you know, there was 15 good hours of really making the place clean once everything was out to my spec, even though the guy's probably going to destroy it that's coming in. But that was my takeaway. My takeaway was after all the boxes are gone, from that moment to the point where everything's really out, that was the part I didn't count on. So there's your full answer.
There you go. And the other takeaway is you need the right agent, correct?
You've got to have Jeff Mueller. Yeah. Let me kiss your sons, derriere and Mueller and Gary. I'll just say this. I've sold a couple of places buying and selling. And the thing that I hated the most that I remember is sitting there and signing stacks of papers for like 2 hours at closing. And this is a tribute to Crown Title as well. And we had a little snafu with the Crown Title thing and I had to sign a second time, but it was like quick and easy. It was way, way easier. I don't say to sell the house because it was harder, but the whole process of like videos and pictures, and if we were looking to buy right now, we could go online and do that. That it is a different era in buying and selling. Right. And it was much, much easier than the root canal that I remembered from 2003.
No doubt about it. And as you said, that's really a great team, whether it's Jeff Mueller and Mueller and Gary Realty. They work with David Thurston and Crown Title. And I never hear anything but rave reviews.
It was down and dirty and quick and easy. It was a lot easier to close than it was to sell it. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listen, we've got a few minutes here to take a look back. And this is one you rarely say to me, I'm going to start because I'm going to rant a little bit, and it has to do with you being outraged by yet another senseless murder in the city far too close to where you lived.
Well, I didn't know Chesco, but everybody I know knew Chesco. I ate a La Scala one time in my life, and this speaks to like, when I go to Catonsville, I always pass that Indian joint. I always want to go there. And one day I will. And give them a shout out because I got some Indian food the other day up in the Towson area because I love food. But, you know, I'm going to wind up at State Fair or Beaumont or El Guapo because they're my partner. It's what I do. It's part of like going to the same place and doing the same thing. And I've been with the Michis most of my life and they're like family to me. So no offense to any of the other places in Little Italy. I don't get there often. I do get to the Oven Bird and I've been to most places once or twice. I haven't been to Aldo's in years. So I haven't been to La Scala, and had I been there, but the neighborhood, the people where the murder happened, 50 feet away from where my wife and I were 48 hours before the murder. Cause my wife and I picked her up at Echabin because we love Echabin. It's another great, great place. That neighborhood's a great place. Don, this is where you and I get sideways on the death penalty. And I guess if, you know, if we're going to recon this and throw it out, I'm not going to go up and down the river. But if that were me, if that were, God forbid, anybody I knew in Little Italy, and I know a lot of people in Little Italy, and if it were my family member for loved ones, I'm just, and I'm not so vengeful, and I'm not religious about this, and I'm not just screaming from the mountain about it, but I seek vengeance for those type of tragedies. And I've gotten into it with you and Martin O'Malley and other death penalty. I'm not a death penalty proponent. I just think that there needs to be consequences that are harsher, if that's possible, in these cases. And it just angers me. It saddens me to a point where, and I'm Mr. Baltimore positive. People come up, Don, I was a place, and I'm not going to, because I was with a sponsor the other night, and I said something like literally like the most beautiful city in the world. And this was an old white guy who went Archie Bunker in his Baltimore. Hey, city, you goddamn good. And it just, these murders give people a chance to shit on Baltimore. And I don't like it. And it's one more Fox 45 talking point. It's one more racist talking point. It's one more anti-city talking point. Oh, nasty. That's why you left the city. You was afraid of getting murdered. No, I moved to the county because there was an opportunity in the place we wanted to be. I'm just very, very saddened by it. And it becomes a statistic, and it becomes fodder for the news for a day or two. And then it goes away. And I don't know. And they held a candlelight vigil the other night. None of the politicians showed up. I mean, no one wants to be around a violent murder that happens at the corner of Eastern and Broadway. And nobody wants to stand to that and say, this isn't, but they're going to catch the people who did this. And then at that point, I don't want this to happen anymore. And I'm a death penalty proponent over 53 years of my life. If you do this, you don't deserve to live. That's how I feel about it. And I know you feel differently, and that's why we do the recon, man.
No. I think there's a lot of truth in what you say, and that's why I didn't interrupt you and let you finish. A couple of things. I totally agree that the kind of crime wave that we've seen in the city that appears to be continuing in the city is unacceptable. I think it really damages the city's image, and something has to happen. That's not hyperbole. Something has to happen. I think it's unfair to suggest that elected officials are not outraged. I absolutely believe that they are all outraged. Everyone that we've talked to, and we've gotten to know quite a few of them. Quite a few of them are our friends. I know that the mayor's heart aches each and every day when he gets the numbers from the day before.
Well, murders happen in the county too, and you were the county executive. They've happened on Johnny's watch.
And, oh, they were there.
And when it happens, and you're in that chair,
it's awful. It's awful. You feel every one of them. You feel everyone. They all feel personal.
And then you put on a black suit and you go meet the family and you meet the survivors, right?
And we need, yeah, yes. And you need, this is where we need to step back. And this will be a great topic. We're having Katie O'Malley, exciting candidate for Attorney General to replace Brian Frosch next week. She's put out an extensive public safety plan. I would hope that people would check it out, because certainly people are going to want to know what role the Attorney General can play in helping to stem this current violence. They're going to be asking the gubernatorial candidates, and we'll be sitting down with all of them to talk about the issue. If it were easy, everybody would be solving it. And it is right now. It's a nationwide issue. Psychologists, psychiatrists, no one has a very good answer as to why crime is at levels that we haven't seen in 20, 30, 40 years. Now, that gets you, as outrageous as it was, I always say capital punishment is a difficult issue to debate with folks because I do think it comes from a very personal place.
Well, if it's my friend murdered or my father murdered or my general manager murdered or my maitre d' murdered or whoever it is, I want to know as a citizen, what are the consequences? When they catch these MFers, what are they going to do to them? And what are they going to do to them? And what should be done to them is the same thing that they done unto others. Should be a gun put to their head. That's how I feel about it. And I have no remorse about that. I wish I didn't feel so callously about it, but I wish I didn't have to replay in my mind what happened to this man the other night.
Yeah. I just obviously
that it could have been you or me or your wife or your son or your daughter or your loved one, that it could have been us in that position. And what we would seek as a society to say, this isn't just unacceptable. This can't happen. That we need to make sure this doesn't happen anymore. There has to be a real consequence.
And I don't disagree with that. I'll go back. I guess my response to that would be the example that I always use is one of the worst answers that a presidential candidate ever gave to a debate question when an interviewer asked Michael Dukakis what would he want if his wife were raped at gunpoint, and wouldn't he want the death penalty? And he hemmed and hawed. And what he should have said, and it was a terrible moment for him because most folks reacted like you did right now. And the answer should have been, from where I sit, from a personal perspective, I'd want to put my hands around that individual's neck and strangle every last bit of life out of them. As a society, we have to be better than my individual anger, and that person should never see the light of day again, should be in prison forever. But I'm not sure that a society can.
This speaks to your faith, I think, more. If you and I are really getting at it, this speaks to your godliness. And
I don't know.
Well, you wouldn't want to be the county executive that took a life, right? I mean, when I sit with Martin O'Malley or sit with Larry Hogan or sit with governors that either say up or down, right? Like, you know, Pontius Pilate, right? You know, like that to be in that chair, if I were the governor, I'd have to say up or down. And I'd be thinking about what happened to Chesko the other night if I were on that watch 3 years, 5 years, 8 years from now, when you maybe get around to it after feeding these creeps and then having to apprehend them and I don't know. I've been through this and I talked about this. I've talked about this with you, my friend, Vincent Adolfo, who was murdered, my childhood friend, who was a police officer, very famous, famously murdered back in the 1980s, Flint Gregory Hunt. I remember that. And he was eventually executed. And, you know, anybody on my street in Bank Street would have executed him the day after. And it would have been for our society. It would have been a thumbs up in that particular case, because you're not going to let him out of jail anyway. I don't know what the point is.
It's an age old discussion. I respect folks on both sides of the issue.
Well, my Republican friends will love me for that. Then there you go. Oh, so that's one thing I'm right of almost anyone on the death penalty for this case, for things like this. I am a death penalty proponent. And Don, when you and I get sideways and you and Martin put the warm fuzzy and well, now we're a civilized society and you give me all that PR and you do all of that, that's cool. And that's great. And in the moment, maybe it can make sense. And I'll think about it. And then I wake up to this murder and it bubbles the reptilian heart of me comes out at that point.
To me, the goal is to make sure that person never again walks the streets of our neighborhoods and our community.
I don't want him breathing. So that's
That is the vengeful part that I think government has to play a part in not allowing our vengeful nature to become government policy. I think
it's hard to run a society when you can do this and get away with it, though. We had Chris Figuraj on this week, but Theroux would tell you a lot of people are getting away with it in this city, getting away with murder and not solving murders.
You're mixing messages. Getting away with it means that I'm you know, I'm sitting at the local Starbucks, shopping at the local Wise Markets. That's getting away with it.
Going well, there's a guy down in Mar-a-Lago getting away with it right now every day,
getting
right?
Getting away with it is different than spending a life behind bars. And again, I favor life without parole. I get all of that. I just think that if...
Well, there's a mind frame that if you commit a murder in the city, you might not get caught. Like, you and I wouldn't murder anyone because it wouldn't feel good for us to murder someone. But behind that, because there have been some people that, believe me, I've had a, you know, murderous soul at points. But the thought behind that is, if I do that, I'm going to get caught.
But nobody.
And then there will be consequences for getting caught. Well, and I will go to jail. And okay, great.
But
if you believe that you won't get caught, if you believe that consequences don't exist, that's a problem to think that I will get away with it.
I don't think anyone disagrees with that. That's very different than a discussion of...
Do you think the guys that pulled the trigger, whatever their mindset or whatever their intellect is, they did it really believing they would get away with it? I mean, we get back to Donald Trump. One of the things with Donald Trump, he really believes he's going to get away with everything because he always has.
It's very difficult to look into the mind of someone who would take a life with no reason on the streets. Do I think at that moment they're processing what's going to happen in the criminal justice system? No, I don't think, I doubt that is the way it works. I always go back. You've heard me mention it many, many times, that great scene from that film Grand Canyon, where the young teenager says to Danny Glover, "Unc," his uncle's trying to talk to him about staying straight. He says, "Unc, I'm not going to see 30. So I think for many of these guys, it's like live by the day, die by the day. I think we have an illness in our society, and just cranking up the electric chair from where I sit is not a public policy that's going to address it. I understand the anger. Understand, I'm not dismissive of it. My heart aches for the family. It absolutely does. I want the perpetrators behind bars to never come out again.
By the way, the first thing as a citizen you want is for them to be caught, right? I mean, the first thing is, and then the next thing is they're going to pay for this. And how they pay is then how we, but the first thing is, let's catch the people who did this. And that has to be the confidence level, right? That every citizen would have, that if someone murders me or murders you, or I murder you or you murder me, we're going to get caught and there will be a consequence for that. And I think that's the part in the aftermath of all of this, is that we look at it, and this is where David Simon or any of the crime reporters would say, we don't catch enough of these people. You know, there's no guarantee we'll catch these people, right? Really. You hope, and there's a whole part of this with Blue and cops and detectives and that needs to play out, but we hope in our society you can't get away with this.
No,
you're not going to get away with this.
Yeah, that's a wonderful place to end that part. We got an abbreviated segment of the Recon today, because we're onward and upward. We're going to be talking with Ron Legler of the Hippodrome. It's going to be an exciting chat.
We're going to tell Meatloaf story next week, though, right? Can we do that? Can we hold the Meatloaf story?
Meatloaf story. We're going to talk about a Tennessee school district that's banning books on the Holocaust, Pulitzer Prize winning books. I'm telling you, you can't make this stuff up. And next week, we'll do a deep dive into the Supreme Court and a vacancy and where it's going. Hey, let's end with just a little tidbit. We have all this doom and gloom today. Numbers just out in the last day or two, the economy grew at 5.7% in 2021. That's the most since 1984, and it created a record 6.4 million jobs. So are there still issues in terms of inflation and others that we have to address? But the economic picture is very, very good. Actually made a real example this week when the Fed talks about raising rates and stopping its propping up of the economy. That means their take is the economy is ready to take off on its own. So lots to talk about next week. We'll be updating it, but good to have you talk a little bit about your view on the death penalty, and I'm sure people will be
Just angry. I mean, it's the first thing I do, because you and I, like, in real life, we disagree and we have some fun and we argue on the air and we love each other off the air and all that. But when things like that happen, I reach to you and say, Here's a death penalty case. Here's one where I don't care if these creeps live or die. I want them dead. I, as a citizen, I want them dead, and I kind of want to watch it. And I want their peers to watch it to say, this is what we do when you murder innocent people on the streets of Baltimore. This is what Baltimore is going to do to make sure it doesn't happen anymore. So that's me being the tough guy in East Baltimore, and that's where it is. You know, so
we have to be better than Dodge City. To be continued. There you go.
Don Mohler, it is the Recon, an abbreviated version. If you want the meatloaf story is with me and Bill Cole, but apparently Don has a meatloaf story, and it doesn't even have to do with the way they make the TV dinner over at the State Fair, right? By the way, since meatloaf passed, I'm in the mood for meatloaf. I'm going to go to State Fair. My friends at Nacho Mamas have a delicious meatloaf as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. And if you disagree, throw me an email, ness@baltimorepositive.com. We are always baltimorepositive.com.